Hi, I'm Amanda Salvatore.
And I'm Jackie Rayal Bell, and we're the two hosts of
The Guilty Pleasure Podcast, the show where we celebrate and elaborate on odd and embarrassing interests.
Hey, Amanda, what's your guilty pleasure?
I like dipping donuts in soup.
Oh, really?
No, but that's the kind of stuff we talk about.
Check us out every week on the Nerdist School Network.
Want to submit a guilty pleasure of your own? Email us at guiltypleasurepodcast@gmail.com.
And remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nerdist School Network. For class and show information, visit nerdistschool.com.
Hey, foodie callers. Thank you so much for tuning in with us every week. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Fun fact, leaving a review makes a huge difference with iTunes and helps us bring you more foodie call every freaking week. Did you know we're also on social media? You can follow us for live foodie updates on Instagram and Twitter at Foodie Call Pod. And for recipes and confusing posts from my great aunt Virginia, like our Facebook page, facebook.com/foodiecallpodcast. Got a suggestion for a guest or want some meat sale advice from Omar? Shoot us an email, foodiecallpodcast@gmail.com. Did you get all that? For our social security and credit card numbers, listen to the end of this show. Thanks so much for listening. We love you way more than grocery flyers.
Foodie, 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 foodie call, not quite a booty call, a booty call, booty call, booty call, not quite a booty call, a booty call.
Foodie call, the interview podcast that asks guests, what's your secret sauce? With your hosts, Kylie Hodges and Omar Nava.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to Foodie Call, where each week we discuss one delicious food dish with a hilarious guest and find out what their secrets are in the kitchen. I'm your host, Kylie Hodges, producer, brand ambassador, and I'm a former houseplant murderer turned plant harvester. Sitting across from me is Omar Nava, comedian, writer, and he's a Gryffindor.
That's true. I have a heart of courage.
That's right. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute. And together, through our disgustingly adorable love for each other, we found we also love to cook and eat together. And we want to discuss with the world what it is that makes food so great.
So great.
So.
So great. So great. So. You know, like
so
the song?
Great, so great. So great. So sweet.
Foodie call. Bop, bop, bop.
Grocery flyers make all me stay. So good. Well, that was a failure. I feel like you and I always do that. We change lyrics to songs together, and we're way better at it when we're not recording.
That's true. So if you guys ever get a chance to catch us live.
In our apartment.
Foodie Call Live. Oh, on ice. Imagine.
Guys. How much money should we ask from people to come witness us be idiots? Would you pay $100 to come sit and listen to us talk in person?
But don't worry, there will be a lottery system, much like with Hamilton. I just posted on Facebook today, don't tell my family, but if I win Hamilton lottery tickets this weekend, I'm not coming home for Thanksgiving.
Oh, actually, I was thinking about that today, and I was actually going to suggest the same. Sorry, fam. Hamilton.
I'm dating an accomplice. Yeah. An enabler.
So let's start with our sweet and sour moments of the week. Omi, you want to go first?
Nope.
Okay. I'll go first.
Ladies first.
I actually didn't think of a sour moment.
Oh, look who came unprepared.
I know. I realized I thought of a sweet moment and not a sour moment. I'm sorry. All right. Well, TBD on the sour moment.
You can
moment.
Do your sweet moment, and then I'll do my sweet moment, and then you can do your sour moment.
It'll trigger a sour moment.
Yeah.
I don't want to end on a bad note. Oh, well, this is already off to a rough start. Oh, I know my sour moment.
Oh, I know what it is.
Are you lying?
No.
You know what it is.
Yeah.
What?
Outside?
What are you pointing? Oh, no. Oh, God. I have so many sour moments this week.
Oh, my God. I should have reminded you.
We're double downing on sour moments. Here we go. First things first, I had gotten two free bottles of alcohol from a work event this weekend, and I put them in a big tote bag where I was also carrying my friggin' lighting equipment and put them in the trunk of my car. And when I got home, I carried the tote bag and I was like, man, it really smells like some sort of alcohol. That's weird. And then I walked a little more, and I looked down, and there was a drip on my shoe, and the tote bag, the bottles were literally floating in their own alcohol.
and my lights were soaked. And this was like midnight on Friday. I had just gotten done working like a crazy event for 9 hours. I was tired. I almost started crying right in the middle of public because, you know me, I love a good public cry. That did not happen. And the back of my car, I went to go check my trunk, and the back of my car was just soaked in some sort of delicious fall spiced alcohol. So there's that.
Yeah, that's what you want in a car, so that if you ever get pulled over, the officer will at least know you're festive.
I'm festive.
You're festive drunk.
I have good choices in alcohol. So the trunk of my car currently has no like fabric in it. It's just like an extra wheel sitting in the back. And I'm trying to figure out how to clean it. My other sour moment is just that we have a really awesome guest this week, and we planned to make this a multimedia episode. We did an Instagram live video with her that we'll talk more about later. And the plan was to save it and share it on social media afterwards, because you know Instagram live video only lasts for 24 hours after it has been shot. And Instagram betrayed me, and it did not save it to my phone. It said it did, and it did not. And no, I was not able to use other apps to save it. I already tried. Thanks for your advice. Do you want to do a sour moment, or should I do my sweet moment?
No, I'll do a sour moment.
Have at it.
My sour moment in
Uh-oh, you're giving me a devilish face, which has me concerned.
Well, the devilish face implies after I gave you crap about not being ready,
I realized you're not ready.
Either. It's just that when your life is so blessed, you just never find anything wrong with it.
Blessed to be a blessing.
No, my sour moment, I guess this will be a sour moment. It's more just like the non-silver lining of a dark cloud, I guess. I don't know. We like bought all of our plane tickets for holiday travel, which is great. It's awesome. The only sour moment was we bought it all at once. So then like it was a big hit to the checking account, you know, you buy a bunch of plane tickets. We like minimize it though by like using points and stuff.
Yeah.
But just like to buy 5 plane tickets or however many we bought all at once was just like, ugh.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Sucker punch.
It was. But we'll get through it. On that note, were you going to give a sweet moment?
Well, no, it's you. It goes back and forth.
Oh, my matcha's not kicking in. Okay. My sweet moment is I went through a phase about a year ago where I really wanted to start incorporating plants in our apartment. And somebody at work gave me an orchid and it was beautiful. And it's slowly been like dying but not dying. I can't really figure out what's going on with that orchid.
Maybe it's going into hibernation.
I think it needs a bigger pot because it hasn't flowered since April of 2016. So I feel like it needs to spread its little roots before it can reflower. Also, like, once every 2 months, a leaf just dies. So I feel like it's got a slow, slow death coming. We also tried planting some herbs, and we were being pretty successful until we hit the road this summer with all the weddings that we were on. And then a friend was taking care of our plants, and we hit a heat wave, and they just got scorched. And so those are dead. So our apartment kind of looked like a funeral home, like a cemetery for dead plants, because we didn't throw them away.
No, we just, you know, the aesthetic of dead things really livens things up.
So then we went to Houston this weekend, which I'm assuming is that your sweet moment.
It's one of two.
Okay, wow.
I had to balance your double downer with my double upper.
Good. So we stayed with some awesome friends who I'm totally obsessed with. What is her Instagram name? Everybody should follow her on Instagram. Her name's Kaylin.
At Kaylin.
No, I'm going to find it really quick while I keep talking. And their house is beautiful. And they let us take a snipping of one of their plants. And I'm really excited about it. We have it in the window now, and it seems to be doing kind of well. So I'm optimistic.
It hasn't died yet, so
Also, so this girl that we stayed with, it's one of Omar's best friends from college. Her name's Kaylin. And on Instagram, her Instagram name is Kaylin Tannehill. K-A-Y-L-A-N-T-A-N-N-A-H-I-L-L. That was a lot. Also, maybe her account's private and she doesn't like me sharing this, TBD, but she's an artist, and her art is so incredible. She did 100 days of watercolor paintings. That is super cool, and you guys should follow her, because I think I'm obsessed with her art.
Yeah.
And their house. Great. Oh, my God. Anyways, Omi, your turn.
So, my sweet moment, the first, was, we went to Houston because it was Rice University Homecoming. And it was not only Rice University Homecoming, it was my 10-year reunion homecoming. I don't know exactly when you celebrate your 10-year reunion.
Homecoming! But,
okay, well, yeah, 10 years ago, I graduated from Rice University. Follow them on Instagram, at Rice University. And so we went, and Kylie had never been to Rice, and actually she'd never been to Houston. So it was just kind of cool to show her the old stomping grounds.
Yeah, and I've been to all the big cities in Texas. I feel like I'm becoming a Texan.
She's a real Texan. She just needs her cowboy boots.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just showed her campus, and I mean, it was probably just as foreign to her as it was to me, because they've made a lot of changes since I was there. But yeah, it was cool to just go hang out, walk around, and then just Houston was like perfect this past weekend. It wasn't hot and humid. It wasn't stormy, which were the only two options. It was like perfectly in the middle. We got to see a lot of old chums, catch up, eat some good food. And then, came back to LA. The other sweet moment was I put some birthday money to use finally, instead of just hoarding it like a squirrel for the winter.
Yeah.
And I bought myself a new laptop, guys.
Yay!
A new laptop. I bought myself a Microsoft Surface Book for all you tech nerds out there. A, be impressed, and B, give me your lunch money, dweebs. It's a really cool, like, 2-in-1, pretty much, like, convertible laptop notebook. So it's like a clamshell most of the time, just like a regular laptop. But then you push a little button, and it, like, disengages the screen, and then the screen pops off to act as a tablet. So it's kind of like the Microsoft Surface Pro, which was, like, the original line or whatever, the original product. But that keyboard is just like a tablet cover, and it's just like flimsy. But this one is like the keyboard is an actual keyboard, and it has like more battery in it to extend the usage time.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I actually had some laptop envy when I saw it.
Yeah, the only, and it comes with a Surface Pen, or the S Pen, I don't know what they call it, but the Microsoft like pen, so I can write notes and draw. If I were a drawer, I would be more stoked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it also comes with Windows, which I haven't used in so long.
Yeah.
So often I find myself trying to do Macintosh, Mac commands on my Windows, and looking like a real dummy, you know?
Yeah.
To anyone who's watching, which is no one except the good Lord.
And he's like, oh man, he looks so dumb right
now. Oh my God, look at this dweeb.
All right, well, thank you for ending my double sour note moment with a double sweet moment.
You're welcome.
All right, people. You know what's next.
Party people!
Every week we receive those grocery flyers in the mail that I'm sure end up in your recycling bin or are piled up with your mail for weeks at a time. For Omar, this is his favorite moment of the week, digging for them steals and deals. Oh, I said it wrong. Deals and steals. So throw away your flyers and let Omi do the work for you. Omar, with Thanksgiving this week, what are the best deals of the week?
Are y'all ready for this? All right, guys, it looks like we got some pretty good ones this week. Pretty good ones.
Woo!
I encourage all of you to check out your local grocery store flyers because, as she said, Thanksgiving is this week, so you'll probably find some great deals on some turkeys, some sweet potatoes, some cranberries, etc., etc. For our beloved Sprouts, we have this week $3.99 a pound for walnuts, guys. Walnuts. That's a good source of protein, good source of vitamin E, I think. All sorts of nutrients, and also they're nice little toppings for your sweet potato pie or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Pecan
pie?
Pecan, oh, wait. Well, that would be pecans, but...
Never mind.
In any case, you have 39 cents a pound, red garnet or jewel yams. Make yourself some mashed sweet potatoes or candied yams. Well, I guess they're not sweet potatoes, but candied yams for Thanksgiving. You got 98 cents a pound cranberries. If you want to make your own cranberry sauce, have at it. Two for $4 organic broth. That's $2 each for a nice little 32 ounce of chicken broth, vegetable broth, any kind of broth. Well, those two broths. you know, that's a good starter for soups. It is soup season, guys. $2.99 a pound for mild cheddar cheese. I don't know how many people eat cheese on Thanksgiving, but if you're anything like my family, we have a whole vat of queso. But also, I don't know, don't people put cheese on, like, their green bean casserole or something?
Yeah, I always thought that was a thing in the Midwest, but I'm pretty sure your family...
Yeah, yeah, just put cheese on it, guys. It's like putting an egg on it, but with cheese.
Put cheese on it!
At Sprouts, they have $1.49 a pound for whole turkeys. I actually don't know if that's good. I've never made my own Thanksgiving dinner, so I don't know if $1.49 a pound is good. I imagine, I don't know, if you get a 10-pound butterball... Well, not Butterball, but whatever brand this is, then it'll be $14. I don't know if that's good or not. It's probably not.
I don't really know how to gauge the price of a turkey either because I'm only shopping for one. Well, I've never made one either, but I only see them around the holidays, and then they always say, oh, this is a discounted price. And it's like, are you selling this at any other price any other time of year?
Yeah. And also, do they even sell turkeys the rest of the year?
Yeah, because
I've never seen
do.
Them. I just see, like, cuts of turkey or turkey meat or turkey legs, but not
this
a whole turkey.
This is big grocery lying to us, guys.
Big grocery. Well, guys, if you don't want a conventional Thanksgiving dinner, you can also get some shrimpies, $6.99 a pound. They got lobster tails, $5.99 a pound. $4.99 a pound for 100% grass-fed beef. Make yourself some chili, like I said. It's soup season. 88 cents each for Hass avocados. It is the fall harvest, so grab yourself some 88 cents a pound squashes, acorn, butternut, or spaghetti. 2 for $5 berries. That's not bad. I will never spend more than that for berries. 2 for $5.
Is this still Sprouts?
Yeah, this is still Sprouts. I'm only going to look at Sprouts just because it takes too much time to, like... We actually did throw away our flyers this week.
Or maybe
we didn't get
them.
I don't think we've gotten them yet. Or we didn't pick them up last week. But, so I'm looking on my phone. Mm-hmm. On the Sprouts app that always logs me off before I can actually... or just every time I close my app, it logs me off and I have to sign in again. Anyway, 2 for $5 for cage-free eggs. They're cage-free, so they're okay. They're not free-range, which, as we all know, past guests have come to complain about. I'm not going to name any names, but $2.99 for Greek yogurt. Guys, probiotic. Get your belly right. Get your poops regular. Have some Greek yogurt. And last but not least, I don't know. That might have been the last one, actually. You can get a spiral sliced ham for $2.49 a pound. I know some people like to eat ham on Thanksgiving instead of turkey because they're un-American. So that's the Sprouts deals and steals, guys. Have at it. If you're in California, shop there for your food. If not, shop wherever you want. Honestly, I don't care. But I want you guys to have deals. I don't care where you shop as long as there are deals and steals. You didn't let me finish. I am thankful for deals and steals.
That's actually that brings up a good point. Some of you have sent me Instagram messages with your deals and steals that you found or like recipes that you've made at home that you just want to share with us. And we love it.
Keep them coming.
I'm trying to screenshot whatever you guys send me, and we're going to repost on our Instagram and our Facebook. So share with us either your deals and steals if you see a good deal in a grocery flyer, or if you're cooking at home and you're proud of it, send it our way. We'll be proud of you as well.
Yeah, Instagram live it, document it, and we'll watch it.
We would share it too.
Yeah.
All right, enough of this. Are you guys ready for our guest? It's going to be a good one.
I can't hear you.
Our guest is going to teach us how to deconstruct a squid, and it's amazing.
It's time for a foodie call.
Today's guest was nominated in 2018 Forbes 30 Under 30 in Food and Wine. She is also the founder and creator of Trash Fish, a subscription service that sources unique, underloved seafood that consumers don't normally get a chance to buy. Welcome, Ren Ostry!
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming to chat with us today.
Of course.
So for all of our listeners, head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/foodiecallpod, and go to our Instagram. You'll be able to see that we just cooked a crazy good recipe together that we'll talk about in a minute. But we are now reaping the benefits of it, and I have so much to talk to you about. I'm so excited. But first things first, I want you to tell us a little bit more about what is Trash Fish.
So if you live in Los Angeles, we are your personal fishmonger. You can find Trash Fish at farmers markets all over LA, where we have curated sustainable seafood dinner boxes. We source what we call underloved fish. Like you said, seafood people don't normally get a chance to try. And we pair it with a California-produced pantry item, something like spices, artisanal olive oils, kung pao sauce, like we cooked with tonight, and my favorite part, a recipe from an LA chef. So all of these things together are what we call a trash fish box, and it's your way to directly support California fishermen.
Now, when you say underloved fish, what exactly do you mean?
So underloved is what we prefer to the misnomer that the seafood industry calls trash fish, where we get our name. So trash fish has historically been the term for fish that just don't have a market. Things that are bycatch, that come up secondary to the main targets of our big fishermen.
So say you're fishing for a tuna and then like a few, I don't know, like mackerel get in the net or whatever. They'll just throw the mackerel away. I mean, that's a bad example, I'm sure, but something
it's actually
along those
not.
Lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It can be bycatch that comes up in crab traps or even hook and line fishermen get bycatch. Often we think of huge nets, you know, those big purseiners and mile-long fishing nets where you can imagine a turtle or a dolphin stuck in there. These other, you know, these other marine life often die to make room for the fish that a big seafood global industry assumes we should be eating because statistics say that's what we like. But who knows what we like if we don't get a chance to try it?
Totally. Now, we actually met Ren at a kitchen table at dinner a few months ago that we were hosting. She was also a special co-host, and I thought she was so cool because she was walking around with this tray of, what were they?
Those were grassy bar oysters.
Grassy bar oysters, and she's just like, guys, you gotta try this. I was like, okay, whatever, and I eat it, and it was so delicious, and then you gave us the most incredible fun fact ever about its protein.
No, that was the...
Oh, that was something different?
Yeah, that was the...
the whelks.
Yeah,
oh, I'm getting confused
snail.
Now.
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
I'm just
full
of
fun. Give us the fun fact about the whelks that I thought were what I ate, but apparently...
Oh, well, the grassy bar oysters we ate at the kitchen table dinner, which was so much fun.
Yeah.
We paired with pickled onions.
Yes.
And that was really cool. What I liked about that is people don't often get a chance to play with their food the way we do oysters. You're often told, based on the kind it is, whether you should just swallow it whole or mush it around in your mouth and really, you know, let the flavor pop. So pairing it with a pickled onion forces people to keep it in their mouth and chew it up, and you get that blast of flavor. Grassy bars are known for their cucumber flavor, which I thought the onion really brought out.
Yeah.
It was so good. It was so, so good. I had no idea what I was eating, but I loved it.
I know, that's kind of our goal.
Yeah,
try this. You'll love
up
it.
To us.
Yeah. So then when you were telling us about trash fish, you used an example of a whelk?
Whelks. Yeah. Let's talk about those.
So you said that they have like a crazy high protein count, right?
It's about 40 grams of protein per serving for a Kelt's whelk.
Now, that's a whelk, crazy. For those who may not know, is a snail, right?
Oh, really?
You did your trash fish homework.
A sea snail.
That was Omar. I didn't do that.
Well, no, she told us, but...
Oh.
She told us when she told us about the whelk, but I don't know how many people know what a whelk is. So
I know.
It's a variety of sea snail.
So if you're not driving, I recommend Googling it. Once you see the shell, you'll recognize them. We see them on the beach all the time. Often little teeny tiny hermit crabs will grab them and what be walking around with these big, beautiful shells. What's cool about whelks is there's no fishery for them. And what that means is it's not a targeted species that fishermen are catching for consumers to eat. They just come up sometimes. That's what makes them bycatch. So, perfect example, Dungeness crab season just opened last week here in Southern California. Mm. My favorite. And the way we get those crabs are through crab traps. So our fisherman friend throw traps down all over the Channel Islands, off the coast of San Diego, up to San Francisco. They'll leave them out for a few days and come back and dredge them up. Mm. But it's not just crabs in those traps. A lot of it is whelks, too. So whelks are these little sea snails that come up from the ocean floor. They're beautiful. They taste just like clams. Ooh. And they, have 40 grams of protein per serving.
That's
so why are we
eating
those? Why don't we call them our whelk fishermen instead of our crab fishermen?
Seriously.
Why can't the crab be the bycatch?
Yeah, wow.
That's so much protein.
And that is so much.
To all the bodybuilders.
Yeah.
Swole that's... Steve, if you're listening.
Yeah, we have it's a friend named Swole Steve. He is a bodybuilder.
Yeah, I'm going to tag him in this.
He should 100% be eating these whelks.
Yeah.
Okay, what inspired Trashfish? Like, give us the background of your life and how you found yourself here today.
So I've been in seafood for a long time, and I love it. I want to work with fishermen and in the food scene in Los Angeles forever. I think food is so central to everything, especially here in LA where we get to celebrate every single type of food. I mean, it's the only city that has a Pulitzer Prize-winning food writer.
Jonathan Gold,
yeah. Love you, John.
I recommend everybody Google him to see what he looks like, too.
He does not look like what you think he looks like.
Well, or you could argue
exactly
he looks
what
like
is.
What you... He looks like he's a food writer. But I think it's his scary little skinny ponytail.
I was picturing like an Anthony Bourdain type.
Oh,
that's
no.
why.
But Bourdain, I think he's only skinny because he did so many drugs early in life that his body just like can't retain like holding any fat. Anyways, please continue. Now that we've... body shamed to influential
everyone.
People.
Yeah.
I think a new life goal of mine is to feed trash fish to Jonathan Gold. He doesn't even need to write about it. I just want to feed him. So
you're
badly.
Literally spooning it into his mouth?
Yeah. Here, try this.
Yeah. I'm sure this.
These are whelks.
So you love LA and you want to work in the seafood industry here forever.
I really do.
So like, what, I mean, how did you find yourself in this industry?
So here's the thing. The seafood industry is massive. I mean, it's a complex. It's huge. It's global. And it's new. The way we handle our food has changed so much in such a short period of time. So it's salespeople that really decide the seafood we eat. Actually, I think the statistic is as high as 70% of the seafood we purchase in the U.S. is done at grocery stores. But just two generations ago, it was... 1-2%.
Really?
So, I mean, have you ever asked a question to the guy behind the seafood counter?
Oh, they don't
they
know
have
anything.
No idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a stock person.
It's
an
18-year-old boy.
Yeah, and no offense meant to those people. Like, if they're excited about learning about seafood, all power to them. It's just, you know, we're putting people in a space to be professionals about such a niche industry that are completely ill-equipped. So, even, like, breaking down squid, like, I eat squid all the time, but I never get a chance to break it down myself. So there's just this huge disconnect.
Yeah.
And the idea of Trashfish came after learning that traceability was literally the number one food trend in the restaurant industry last year. So that's great.
Wow.
But if we all know where our salmon's coming from and we're just eating salmon, we're not solving anything.
Mm.
So I didn't want traceability to end with a giant billboard celebrating how McDonald's gets their cod from Alaska. That's not enough. We can do better. So I wanted to make sure people weren't left out of that equation and really bringing it back to exactly where the fish comes from and celebrating who caught it.
That's incredible.
That's cool.
What has been your biggest challenge with making trash fish a thing? The biggest hurdle you've had to leap over to make it happen?
That's a really great question. Overall, it's been incredible and humbling how successful it's been. It's like there's been such a need for something like this. So I don't want to say it's easy, but that's been, you know, it's been rewarding to see how all the positive feedback. I think being a young woman in food is really hard. I think being a young woman working with chefs and fishermen is really hard. They're both incredibly salty people.
Briny.
Yeah. Briny people, yes. Fishy, yeah. So I've been fortunate to meet so many mentors in this industry, but I've, you know, also witnessed a lot of adult male temper tantrums.
Yeah.
So I think it's especially being, you know, a young person living a more alternative lifestyle in Los Angeles, like being sure that every decision I make in food honors my mentors. I don't want to pretend this was just me. You know, there are so many people that came before that are doing this work, like Waleed, who's been shucking oysters at farmers markets all over, Sarah Rathbone, who has been selling seafood to chefs for years and years. There are so many people. So, you know, I see all these like young people selling artisanal jams at markets now. Like, where did you come from? I've never seen you before. So yeah, I think that's kind of the biggest thing.
Wow. All right, I want to talk about what we have just a little bit left of in the bowl in front of us that we all inhaled pretty quickly. You actually brought this week's trash fish box with you, and we prepared it together. Like I said, oh, go ahead, Omar.
The California market squid, I remember.
You good remember job. Whelks, you remember the squid whelks, species. Remember
yes. Squids. Omar yep. Smart.
Do you want a farmer's market job?
Honestly, really? Yeah.
Oh, oh you'd be so good at it.
Yeah, I just love factoids. I just love, like, when I was younger, I wanted to be on Jeopardy. I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime.
Well, maybe, you could win Seafood Jeopardy now.
Yeah, exactly. Seafood Jeopardy. But yeah, I've always, like, in high school, I would do, like, trivia competitions, so any little tidbit of, like, information like that, I just soak up and, for whatever reason, gets stuck in my brain.
Omar, the stuffologist.
Yeah.
I love it.
The stuffologist. I would also like to point out that my thumb is burning from those serranos that I seeded the wrong way earlier.
Seeded by hand.
I'm an idiot. Anyway, we made Kung Pao calamari.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good. Like I said, if you jump to our social medias, we did a live Instagram video that we're sharing on our Facebook and everywhere else so you guys can watch. Ren walked us through how exactly to, you called it process, a squid.
Exactly.
And how it goes from being a squid to calamari, which calamari is the prepared version of it.
And can I just say Kylie killed it? Kylie processed an entire market squid after watching for 10 seconds, broke it down from a whole animal to the bits we needed for our dish, and it was awesome.
She even manifested some roe out of it too.
Oh my god, can you share what happened?
We should squeeze the squid on it, or the squid ink on it. Yeah, well, so actually, can you tell everybody how to process a squid, and then I'll tell them what happened when it happens?
So we use, like Omar said, a California market squid. It's smaller than its Atlantic longfin counterpart. It's actually one of California's largest exports. Mm. It's used as bait for fishing other fish.
Mm.
But because it's bait, that often means fishermen don't get paid very much for it. Because it's got to be the cheap input to get other fish, mm-hmm. which is kind of hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, our members paid fishermen a higher value to make it a rich culinary treat instead of a cheap bait, which is pretty cool. So squid have two parts, its body and its tentacles. So we kind of pulled them apart. We put the guts aside and picked out the ink sac, which Omar and Kylie can use to cook some squid ink pasta maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, we should
with
do
our
that.
Spaghetti squash. Would it work with spaghetti squash?
Is that a good idea?
Try it.
Yeah.
Try
we'll
it.
Take a video
that's
and
so
send it
cool.
to you.
Yeah.
That'd be really awesome.
Yeah. With like just some garlic and oil.
Sure.
That'd be good.
I would love to come over for dinner
You're
tomorrow.
You're welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
Everybody come to WeHo.
So, yeah, check out the video. I mean, it was pretty simple. We pulled the guts out. We peeled the skin off, which is purely aesthetic. Just like people are known to pay more for pretty pink salmon. Literally, if you see color dye added onto salmon at supermarkets, statistics show that people flock to that and will actually pay up to a dollar more per pound for pinker salmon.
Idiots.
Wow.
It's wild, right? I mean, often you don't even think about it. It just looks like
is
you think salmon
also
should look.
Dyed?
I think sometimes it's gassed the way chicken is to keep it a certain color.
Oh my god, it's gassed?
Yeah, I don't know what kind, but chicken gets a gas on it to stop it from like turning gray.
Wow.
So tuna might have that too. Gross. Wow. Eat more trash fish.
So we peeled the skin off, and the skin was like, it was like removing like a really fine tissue paper that had, well, no, that's not right. I don't know how to explain it. It was like a really fine sticker that as soon as you pull it off, it peeled into jelly nothingness, like a jelly, gooey roll on my fingers. And it was really satisfying when I got a big chunk pulled off. and then you had me pull the, not the head, but the
body and the
body, which I always thought was the head.
Right.
It's just the oblong part on top of the tentacles.
Once it's food, they call it the steak.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that funny how fish's body parts? So that's what we're eating. The steak of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny that the body parts of a fish change their name from when it's a species to when it's food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in Spanish, too, like, a fish is bes, mm-hmm. and then once it's caught, it's pescado. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's so wild.
So, seafood. I separated it, and then when Ren did one, it just had some guts fall out, which is normal. But I couldn't separate it. It felt really full. So I separated a little bit, and there was still a lot of guts in there. We pull them out. It was pregnant. I had a sack of eggs.
Yeah, it was a whole row sack. Beautiful. So we're going to figure out how to cook that next.
So, like, do you have, off the top of your head, any ideas if somebody got a squid with a row sack in it, what they could cook the row sack with or make of it?
We'll have to figure that out. I've never played before. But I would say ask a chef.
Now, is that different than, what is the word?
Caviar,
yeah. Is that caviar?
Caviar.
I've never heard of squid caviar, but different types of fish eggs have different culinary applications. So there's salmon and mullet, and there's a botarga, which is a cured mullet roe sack.
Whoa.
So chefs will get it fresh and then cure it and then shave it like cheese.
Whoa.
It's good. So there's so many ways to use every part of the fish. But the reason we peeled off the skin, like you had said, is because the industry tells us we want a mm-hmm. bright white meat for squid just because. So yeah. There's really no reason to take off the skin. There's no texture difference or taste difference, but we just kind of had fun breaking it down.
Yeah. And then it has like a spine that almost looks like a clear, it's called a quill, and it looks like a, or a,
yeah, it's called a pen, but it looks like a quill.
A pen, yes. It's called a pen, but it looks like a quill. I think we were calling it a quill earlier.
Yeah, we're calling it the quill.
Everyone does that. Everyone calls it a quill.
Yeah, because in your mind.
It looks like a quill.
Yeah, and it looks, yes, exactly. It looks like the spine of a feather, like a bird feather that you'd have, or a quill. And you just pull it right out.
Another thing that changes its name once the animal's dead.
Yes. So weird. And then there's like a beak. Which, what were you saying? So when there's the tentacles in the middle of it, I always thought that was, like, the butthole.
No, you never saw? Oh, man. There was this, like, made-for-TV movie on NBC, like, many moons ago. And I forget what it's called, like, The Beast or something. And it was, like, a giant squid, but, like, one the size of, like, a ship. And it was a two-part movie, yeah. And whenever it, like, the legs spread apart, in the middle was the beak. And it was, like a parrot beak.
Yeah,
and
it looks like a bird
beak.
Yeah,
and it was, like, it wreaked havoc, guys. Yeah.
Well, I believe that because the beak was so teeny tiny in this thing, but it was really sharp. The point of it was sharp.
Yeah.
And you kind of squeeze that out. You, like, pop it like a pimple out from where the tentacles are. And then you just cut the eyes off, right?
Yeah, or you cut the right below the eyes to just have the tentacles and pull the beak right out.
And then you just slice up the, what do we call the body of it?
The steak.
Yeah.
Into
rings.
Thick slices that make rings. Yeah. And then we tossed it in some cornstarch, fried them, and then you brought, since this is the fish in this week's trash fish box, its pantry component was a Kung Pao sauce created by Chef Michael Bryant, which was so good.
Yeah.
So then once they were fried, we tossed them in some hot oil with garlic, serrano pepper, the cooked fried calamari, and then we had some pine nuts, so we threw in pine nuts, and then cilantro and green onion, and it's so good.
Yeah, we're eyeing, like, two pieces left.
Yeah. I think everybody should have a last piece. Ren, take that big one.
Are there three here?
There's one for each of us, yeah.
Yeah, take that big one, because, you earned it.
Well, she gets that one.
I'll take that one.
I have two little.
Then I'll take this one.
Oh, there's one over there.
I know, it's a deep bowl.
Yeah. This was so good.
It really was.
So.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers. If how would you describe this? It tastes like really great seafood, and I don't know how else to describe it. The sauce is great. There's cilantro on it, which is nice and fresh. The pine nuts, which aren't part of the recipe, I think are actually really nice.
Yeah, the recipe.
And the chilies are spicy, which
actually calls for peanuts, but we made do, and I love it with the pine nuts.
Mm-hmm. And I think the great part about it is, you know, we tossed it in that sauce and it kind of made it gelatinous, but it still maintains its crunchiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just like crunchy and saucy.
I like, too, that you can choose which pepper you add to it. Like, we went with serranos, but you can go with so many different varieties to increase spice factor. Yeah.
So we're going to share the recipe to this on Facebook as well and on our website so you guys can reference it. It's so good. I highly recommend. And Ren also was so nice. She shared other recipes with us. Do you want to talk about these other two recipes? There's a ling cod and potato brandade. Is that how you say it?
Brandade. I think so.
Brandade.
Yeah.
And that's by Chef Aaron Mitrano.
So, we love making weird things out of fish. What I love so much about this calamari recipe is it's different than what you'd expect. I mean, it's when I think of squid, I think of one or two things you can do with it, and that's it. But this was such a special dish. The cod brandaise is equal parts potato and cod, and you can use any kind of cod. We worked with Chef Aaron Mitrano, and our fish that week was a ling cod, which is a ground fish that comes up with rockfish. So for that, we went up to Santa Cruz, and we worked with some fishermen that were targeting rockfish, pulled up a couple big ling cods and didn't know what to do with them. And we said, our members would love that. So I didn't know what I was going to get yet. I knew it was going to be something with rockfish. So I said, Chef Aaron, what is a dish that we can make with something similar to cod? And that's how that happened.
Wow.
The pantry item was artisanal olive oils from Beyond the Olive in Pasadena. Mm. They use all California-grown olives and tons of different flavors. So I was able to work with the chef to choose just the right flavors for this dish. We went with a Meyer lemon and a rosemary. Mm. Mm. They were so good.
I love anything potato-y with
any sort of meat. Dip. It's a cod dip that you use potatoes with.
Wow.
We did a fundraiser dinner. We cooked that up, too. And you can serve it with bread, but we served it with carrots, rainbow carrots, celery, and some pita bread from the Brothers Pita, I think it's called. They're another farmer's market vendor. They're at, like, every market. You've probably seen them.
Awesome.
So, wait, how far up and down the coast are you getting fish from?
We'll work with any California fisherman. Our idea is, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We want to be a resource for everyone in this industry. So, sometimes we'll buy directly from fishermen, and other times we buy from seafood co-ops, other community-supported fisheries, or other sort of fish processing facilities that have landing license. So for the ling cod, for example, we worked with a company called HH Fresh Fish, which stands for Hans and Heidi. This incredible couple, they are just like the epitome of Santa Cruz. I can't explain it. They're just so chill. I love them. Hans probably is. Just a guess.
What a name.
So they have been working with Santa Cruz fishermen for years and years and years, and they were able to tell me what needed a market instead of me just showing up like, what's up? I'm like this new face. Trust me. I'll buy your fish.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of a way to maintain relationships. The squid, also, we work with a co-op called 2xC up in San Francisco, and they are amazing. They have a little warehouse right behind that sourdough place, Boudin, famous sourdough spot right on the pier.
Awesome.
And fishermen call them and let them know it's landing. So we say, look, you've been a co-op for a really long time. I see what your values are and our mission aligns, so tell me what we can do. I have this chef willing to do this recipe or this chef willing to do this recipe. What can you make work? So it's such a fun Tetris game putting all the pieces together each time.
So how do you find the chefs to make these recipes with you? Because it's a different chef every week, so it's like, do you just think, oh, this guy, I know he's good at working with cod, I'm going to ask him for a cod recipe?
Sort of. I think it helps that I'm such a culinary nerd. Like, I will get into your kitchen and see how it works in a not invasive way, if that's possible. But I will ask to speak to the chef and say hello and introduce myself and thank them and ask them if I can see how they prepare things. And we're lucky it's Los Angeles. Chefs love that. They'll say, yeah, come get a beer in the kitchen. Let's talk. Or I'll do cold calls just like as a salesperson and say, like, I want to partner with you. So, I mean, that's one of our next chefs. is the Bellwether, which just won Jonathan Gold's Top 100. And I met him at an event and said, I deeply admire what you do. I've seen the fish that you source. I know that you are going out of your way to choose sustainable fish, and I want to celebrate that. Can I come to your kitchen next week? So we have a meeting in his kitchen next week.
Wow.
So from there, I'll be able to see what culinary applications he prefers. You know, does he have a broiler? Does he have a big, you know, open pit for firing like Chef Colin Akiyama does? Or does he use woks? And from there, be able to go through my head and know what fish is in season and what we can do. Right now, I'm sitting on some beautiful individually quick frozen sardines that I'm trying to find a good chef that wants to do a whole fried fish with me. And for that, I really want to work with Gristle and Toll. They're like a flour mill in Pasadena. So sometimes some of that pieces are there and I look for the right chef. And sometimes, like with Chef Aaron, I wanted to do a cod dish because I've seen his menu and I know what he does, and we kind of figured it out from there.
Yeah.
There's
so it sounds like you have to be a bit of a chef to, like, envision, okay, let's work with this flower company to bring in this fish and this chef. And, like, all the moving parts, you have to see when they fit together properly.
My background is in selling Tetris. Stuff to chefs, oh. Yeah.
Played a lot of Tetris.
I don't think this could work if I couldn't understand, like, plate cost analysis or, like, what it takes to create a dish. That's
so
really
what
important.
Were you doing before?
Before this, I was selling fish to restaurants,
okay.
And then before that, I was helping manage a co-op, a fisherman, so it's kind of a perfect blend of stuff.
What was a typical meal like growing up at home? Like, were you a big seafood person early on in life, or was it not until you started working in that industry?
You know, it's funny. My brother is one of my best friends, and he's a chef in New Orleans. He's run this incredibly successful pop-up called Congreso Cubano for 5 years. His business partner's Cuban, and they make amazing Cuban food. They were voted the best Cuban sandwich in New Orleans last year, which is cool.
Wow.
I have parents that are passionate about everything and like bring energy and love to it all, but food was never that exciting, I should say.
Yeah.
I grew up Jewish and we had Shabbat dinners and we had our recipe book for my great grandma and, you know, meals meant something, and we prayed before we ate, and I think that kind of stuck with me. But it was all very bland. I mean, my mom knows this. I didn't try garlic until I was 17.
Oh my God, what? Really?
My mom told me our whole family was allergic to it.
Wait, what? So your mom didn't make garlic, anything with garlic, so you just never had it?
No.
And, does she hate garlic?
And Well, it came from my grandma. She did that. And I grew up, like, learning to order something by adding the words no garlic after that. So, like, very bland food. The only spice we used for anything was dill. So, and now my brother...
What a random spice to only work with.
So, wait, did your mom think that she was allergic to garlic?
She
or she
didn't
knew
like it.
And, and also didn't like
it? Oh, my God. Garlic is one of my favorite things.
Oh, mine too. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You're not woke to garlic.
I've gotten her to, like, my brother, too, has gotten her to expand their palates a bit more. My dad will eat anything. Oh, my God. He, like, loves food. But, actually, that reminds me of a hilarious story. So, a few years ago, we were home for a holiday. I don't remember exactly what it was. And my brother was home, too. My parents live in New Jersey. And my brother knocked on my door at 1 a.m. And I'm thinking, oh, he wants to, like, go smoke a joint in the... in the garage, like old times.
Yeah.
All right, Ricky. All right, let's see. So I open the door and he goes, shh, come with me. And we go downstairs and he goes, don't tell mom, but I'm slow roasting a pork shoulder. And we have a kosher house.
Oh my God.
So then I was like, are you kidding? It reeks worse than if we did smoke weed in the kitchen. Like the whole house smells like pork. And my parents don't keep kosher anymore, but it was like, that is the last thing you're going to do in your mother's kitchen.
Yeah.
A mother that, like, pretends to be allergic to garlic. Oh, my God. So my mom came down and was like, what did you do to my kitchen? So my brother says, don't worry, mom. I'm saving you the schmaltz. And schmaltz is, it's just chicken fat. Like, it's a Yiddish word for, like, for example, lard? If you want to... Yeah, it's just chicken lard.
Okay.
But you wouldn't have pork lard in a Jewish kitchen. So he was like, so off.
Oh, no.
So that made her laugh and everything was fine. That's but so my funny. God. I just love that.
What is your most memorable meal? Wait, actually, I have to know. Did you guys get to eat the pork shoulder?
He brought it on a camping trip with his friends.
Kind of selfish that he was, like, using your mom's kitchen and then didn't share the well. Even though it sounds like they wouldn't have eaten it, but, like...
Exactly. Ricky. Yeah,
come on, Ricky. Okay, what was your most memorable meal? Do you have one?
I think I have one every week. Is that crazy?
No.
Like what's kind of a week? Goal of the week is to find something new. Oh, this week it's the Kung Pao calamari. Like... I get to play with these recipes that amazing chefs create. I'm blown away each time. I mean, we were joking earlier how, like, I'll work at a farmer's market and there'll be this beautiful, healthy food around, and then still, like, sometimes I'll just want popcorn for dinner at the movies.
Yeah.
So I definitely indulge. Like, I love me some sweet treats. But getting to put together seasonal produce and proteins is my favorite thing. Like, I just picked up a friend at the airport who came in from New Jersey, and I gave her a persimmon to eat. Mm. And she was like, why would I eat this tomato whole? I was like, welcome to Los Angeles.
Yeah. I had never had a persimmon until, like, last year. And it was thanks to Omar. I thought it was a tomato, too.
I didn't have one until I moved to California.
Exactly.
And my aunt gave it to me.
Have you guys ever had a cherimoya?
No, I've heard of that, though. What is it?
The season starts a few weeks after persimmons. They look like grenades.
Mm.
And they taste like... grenades. Soft serve, yeah, and they taste like grenades. So weird. I think they're just grenades. they taste like ice cream. Like, I can't explain it. Some people like cut them in half and put them in the freezer and then scoop them out. I'll show you a photo later.
I've heard of the street, cherimoya street.
Oh, I bet that's what
it's called. Oh, yeah, in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, but I never knew it was a fruit.
Yeah,
I didn't know there were trees there.
Maybe.
We should go look. It's over. It's like off of Franklin, right?
Yeah.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
It's right by Cherimoya Elementary School.
That's so interesting. I've never heard of that either. That's the great thing about Southern California. Like,
I thought you were going to say, that's the great thing about Omar. He just remembers facts.
He remembers street names. No, like, I'm making guacamole after this, and, like, we can always have avocados. Whether or not they're, like, great in season right now is another story, but, like, you probably can't get an avocado in Wisconsin for, like, I don't know, in an extremely expensive amount of money, because it's just harder to ship in.
I mean, maybe. We saw at your brother's, they had
a
good deal on avocados.
I don't know. I just feel like, well, the thing is, though, it's going to be better here than if it was there, because it's going to stay on the, I don't know, vine, the tree, longer, so it's going to be riper, taste better, more nutritious, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, absolutely. Same with seafood.
Yeah.
Like, we have seasons, and we have local fish.
And you said Dungeness crab is in season right now?
It is.
What is your favorite way to eat Dungeness crab?
I like to steam them or grill them and cook them whole with a bunch of friends. I think one of the best things you can have in your kitchen is like a dozen of one kind of utensil and be ready to host.
Yeah.
So I have so many crab mallets and crackers just to be ready.
That's so fun.
So many.
And you just put down like craft paper on the table and tell everybody have at it?
Well, luckily as a fishmonger, I have a lot of butcher paper around, so we'll just cover everything in it.
Yeah.
But actually... I want to change my answer for before my most memorable meal.
Okay.
I do have one.
Okay.
Go for it.
For my birthday last year, I hosted a lobster roll making competition.
Ooh.
And I even invited a friend to be like the Gordon Ramsay and just yell at us and like keep time. And yeah, it was so intense. It was like very high stress and so exciting.
Who won the competition?
Ugh, my friends have garbage palates and I didn't win. And I'm so I'm really bitter about it. My friends Kelsey and Elissa won, and they did a very good job.
Oh, good for them.
But ours had bee pollen and, like, an orange reduction in it.
Ugh.
Oh, God, it was so good. So I flew in Maine lobsters from a fisherman contact, and we had such a blast.
Wow.
And I even had a vegan friend come through with a vegan lobster roll, which you can make with artichoke hearts.
Hmm.
Wow.
It's pretty dope. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a true friend, a vegan, to come to a lobster making party.
Also, you're a good friend to have just in general, because think of how great your friends have with you around. Like, we don't have any friends who are like, oh, you want to come over and eat lobster and
No one's lent me their crab mallet.
Yeah, we don't have friends with crab mallets, that's for sure.
I'll be that friend.
I've already put you in my pocket as the crab mallet friend with the lobster roll competitions.
Yeah.
My goal in life.
Okay, so I could ask you questions all day, but I feel like we're overstaying our welcome a little. So I want you to tell everybody listening why trash fish box, why trash fish is so important and why everybody should have a trash fish box.
Well, we're really lucky to have such a beautiful base already formed. Like, the people that are Trash Fish members are such a special community, and we just want to keep growing it. Like, we'll so often just set up a booth at the farmer's market and not talk. Like, our members come up to pick up their share, and then they just start, like, pulling other people in and, like, telling them how great it is, which is so much fun. We want to make eating sustainable seafood fun and exciting and not so depressing and daunting and scary.
Yeah.
Because so often when we talk about fish and seafood, we're like, well, too bad we won't have that in 10 years. Wah, wah.
Wow.
And it should just, I don't think it needs to be so negative.
Yeah.
Scary.
It's also really special for people that just love the culinary scene in Los Angeles and want to learn more about it. It's just exclusive access to recipes that you can't get elsewhere, which is really fun. And then our pantry items. So we give you enough for more than one meal. You'll at least have enough for one more. But depending on the item, it'll last you. So we're helping you build out like a true foodie kitchen. So if you're trying to do more home cooking, this is a really great way to kind of commit to getting out to the farmer's market just twice a month.
Wow. Awesome. All right. We ask every guest this at the end of the podcast, and it is, and the way you answer it, you can choose to be literal, figurative, whatever. What are you going to say, Omar?
Philosophical.
Philosophical. However you want to answer, this is fine. What is your secret sauce?
I knew I was supposed to prepare an answer for this, and I totally, like, couldn't think of one.
It could literally be your favorite sauce, or it could be, like, what is it that you think gives you that it factor as a person, or whatever.
Fake it till you make it. Let's be real. Like, it is so hard to just believe in ourselves and push forward and, like, oh my God, like, to even tell people that I got nominated for something like Forbes. Like, you gotta be your brand and you gotta push and you gotta pretend that you have a bigger company than you do. And that just celebrate yourself. You're working hard and everything else will catch up. Just fake it till you make it.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like that, yeah.
I like that. Okay, for everybody listening, where can they find you on social media, and where can they find out more about Trash Fish?
Please check us out on trashfishbox.com and Trash Fish Box on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Awesome. Ren, thank you so, so, so much for joining us on Foodie Call. This was such a great episode. And you guys, like I said, go to social media, all of our social media accounts, and you can watch us take a squid apart. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ren.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Get this.